You know, in the last 11 years, 11 years ago right now, a few humble, faith-filled, God-dependent people gathered, actually in a community pool and then a funeral home, believing that God could do something, use them to reach the people they cared about and they loved in their community. And from the very beginning of this church, there's always been a value. There's always been this deep conviction. There's always been a heart in this church that really believes that this church is for everyone. Where's that come from? It comes from the Bible. 2,000 years ago, Peter is preaching in front of thousands of people in Jerusalem. And here's what he says in Acts chapter 2. I want you to notice the very first word. Everybody say that first word with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then you go a few pages to the right and you end up in Romans, and the Apostle Paul says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to," say with me, "everyone who believes." Not just for the few, not just for the privileged, but for everyone. You keep turning your pages over in your Bible, you get to 2 Peter, and here's what the Apostle Peter says. He, talking about God, instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but say with me, church, but everyone to come to repentance. Do you see the theme here, right? That's emerging in Scripture. God's heart, God's house, God's son, God's grace, God's love is for everyone. It's for the frat boys and the girls gone wild. It's for victims of abuse and for those with special needs. It's for Hell's Angels bikers and gang members and people counting their days clean and sober. It's for the inmates in prison. It's for immigrants and refugees. It's for factory workers and for truck drivers. It's for single moms and stay-at-home dads. It's for politicians and CEOs, meth dealers and tattoo parlor owners and foster kids. It's for families that are falling apart, and it's for families that are pretending like they have it all together. His love is for everyone. His love is for you. Amen. That's who our God is. And so the elders and myself have been dreaming about the future of RCC and dreaming about what God can do in the next chapter. I mean, wouldn't it be something if our greatest days of ministry are ahead of us and not behind us? What if we are taking our greatest risk? And believe it or not, RCC has taken some massive risk. But what if we've taken our greatest risk as a church moving forward than we've ever taken before? What if God did immeasurably more through us in the future than he's ever done in our past? And I want to share with you my theme verse for RCC. It's found in Psalms 126 when it says this, "The Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy." Isn't that the truth? I want you to say that with me on the count of three. So I'll say it together. One, two, three. "The Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy." And you know, as we start this new year, I've been praying, I've been dreaming, I've been thinking about these two words. And the two words are, what if? What if? What if God is just getting started in what he wants to do through us? What if we trusted God with even greater impact in the year 2026? I've entitled this message right here, "What if we wrecked the roof?" What if we wrecked the roof? This comes from the scripture where Jesus is teaching in his house, a little house in Capernaum, a little podunk town right there on the Sea of Galilee. Been there a couple of times. And he's preaching and he's teaching and the place is packed. I mean, the house is full. People are flowing outside the house. And look what happens in Mark chapter 2, verse 2. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he, Jesus, preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by how many? Four of them. So we don't know the background, these four guys plus the paralyzed man. But these five guys knew each other. Maybe they grew up together, vacationed together, barbecued together. Maybe they were on the same starting five on the basketball team in Capernaum. I have no idea. But all of a sudden, you know, after a game on a Friday night, things get a little crazy. And one of them wrecks their camel in a tree, ends up being paralyzed. I mean, it's kind of how my mind starts thinking. But here's the thing. They're desperate for their paralyzed friend. Their friends are like, "We've got to get our friend to Jesus." But as soon as they come to their house, you know their stomach had to be kind of twisting around because they look and it's packed. And there's no way they can get their friend to Jesus. I could see them saying to their friend that they carried, hey, we've done the best we could. We get an A for effort. We really wanted to get you to Jesus, but look, there's no way we can get you in there. We're going to have to get you to Jesus another day. But they don't do that. Instead, they act with great urgency and innovation. Look at verse 4. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they did what? They made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Now, I think we all can agree right now that this is insane right here. I mean, this is crazy. This is bold. This is innovative. You guys in the room, even those online, how many of you have ever, raise your hand if you've ever had to wait longer than an hour to eat at a restaurant. Raise your hand if you've ever had to wait longer than an hour, okay? Not a fun experience. But can you imagine if one of us said, well, that's not a problem. We'll just come to the roof. I imagine none of us have done that, but you know, it just shows you how crazy this is. But I would want my friends, if I was paralyzed, to do whatever it took to get me to Jesus. And I would want them to do something incredible and bold. And so it got me kind of thinking, while Jesus is teaching, he's teaching and the crowds are packed in. All of a sudden, you know, I think about what's happening as he's teaching right there. All those people on him, dust starts falling on his toga. And maybe some sand starts getting his Birkenstocks or something like that. You know, it's just, and now, next thing you know, you have a skylight appeared above his head. And I think about, you know, all the times I preach, all the interruptions I've had while I preach. I've had babies crying. One time I had a sermon interrupted just by my own health. I had a tooth infection. It was so bad. If you ever had a tooth infection and dry socket, I had two things, infection and dry socket right next to each other in my mouth. I was also bleeding while I was preaching in my mouth. It got so bad that literally the pain rose to the level that I passed out while I was preaching. And while I was falling down, I grabbed the pulpit, got myself back and kept going, all right? Just kept on rocking. But that was a little bit of an interruption. Never forget a friend of mine in California, he was preaching, and while he was preaching, an earthquake hit. Earthquake hit. There was a lot of decisions for Jesus in that service, I heard, okay? In this room right here, while I was preaching, all the lights went off, all the electricity shut down. Only thing on was our exit signs in this room. It was pitch black. And I told the church, hold on for a second, make sure things are okay. I walked out of the room, found out after a couple minutes, you know, that everything's fine. I walked back in thinking that probably people have already started leaving. Nobody moved. Everybody just sat there waiting. And I got a flashlight from the law enforcement officer who was here on campus. And I just said, hey, I'm going to keep preaching. And the whole church erupted. I thought they would have left. They were sitting there like, let's keep going. And right there with no sound system and no lights at all, I had a flashlight and we kept preaching. Same thing happened here. I would think, okay, everybody starts leaving, you know, the house. Nope. Look what happened next. When Jesus, look at this, when he saw their faith, notice the plural form. When he saw the faith of the friends, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, I think these five guys, when they heard that, there was probably a collective groan like, oh, wow, that's great, Jesus. I'm grateful, you know, he's going to heaven, his sins are forgiven. But did you notice he can't walk? Did you notice his body is broken? We don't know, you know, if he noticed that, but I know he knew, but Jesus knows, though, the biggest problem you and I have is not our health, but it is our eternal souls. Because legs can be healed, but then crippled again, right? You can heal somebody physically and then get sick again, but a soul is forever. And for Jesus, healing his legs is a great thing, but he's more concerned about healing his eternal soul. And so after that, all of a sudden, discussion starts breaking out in the house because there's Jewish leaders there. They're not really happy that Jesus says that, you know, that this guy's sins are forgiven, like he's God or something. They have no idea who Jesus is. And so at this point, I think the paralyzed man and his friends were all kind of giving up hope that Jesus is going to do anything else. But then we jump to verse 10. Look what happens. But I want you to know, Jesus says, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Guess what happened? He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed, say it with me, church, this amazed who? Everyone. And they praise God saying, we have never seen anything like this. This is an incredible moment. This man walks out of the house on the mat he was carried in on. And even beyond that, he had experienced a greater miracle, and that is the healing of his soul. You see, anybody can say the words, your sins are forgiven. But what Jesus has done by forgiving this man and then by healing him, what he's done is he has verified that he's got the power and he's got the authority to forgive sins. Now, some of you are here today, you're like this man. And maybe you don't know that you need your sins forgiven. And I just want you to know, I'm so grateful that you're here. I'm grateful that you came to this church. Maybe this is the first time you've come to church, if ever. And maybe the reason why you came is because somebody at your work or somebody your in your house or a neighbor invited you, and you just got tired of telling them no and turning them down. So you thought, okay, you know, they told you they'd take you out to eat afterward. I don't know. You're like, okay, sure, I'll do that. But I just want to say this. Thank you for coming. And we're so glad you're here. And I want you to know it's not easy to come to a place like this for the first time. But I want you to know that we love you here and that you are welcome here. This place is for everyone. And our hope is that you would encounter the real Jesus Christ here. But others of us today, I think we need to be challenged by the innovation and the boldness of these friends who courageously ask, what if? What if we thought outside the box? What if we removed any barriers in order to help our friends come to Jesus? And so for the next few moments, if you're a visitor, guest, maybe not a Christian, I want you to know you're welcome just to listen in. But R.C. Sears, I got a question I want to ask you. Actually, two questions from this text. And here's the first one. First question is this. Who will you wreck the roof for in 2026? Another way of saying it is asking yourself, who's a paralytic man in your life? You have two cards there in your seat. And I want to encourage you to go ahead and grab those cards right now. I want you to be thinking about who is your one. Who's the one person in your life that needs to come to Jesus Christ? Who's the person that your heart longs for because you don't know if they're saved or not? And you want to have that certainty for them that they are covered by the blood of Jesus and all their sins are forgiven for all time, just like we got to watch with Katie. And so I want to encourage you right now to go ahead and write down your one on both of the cards, same name on both cards. One you're going to keep, one you're going to hand in. I'll give you directions on that in just a moment. But while I'm preaching, be thinking about who is your one. Who's the one person right now that you have a burden for them to come to Christ? Who's the person you're losing sleep over if they were to die today? I sat down this week and I wrote down, who do I have a heart for? Who do I desire to wreck the roof for them to come to Jesus? And I just started typing. Here's what I wrote. I have a heart for some extended family members who've been around the message of Jesus all their lives, but still refuse and resist to fully embrace Jesus. I have a heart for my neighbors on my street who seem to have little interest in spiritual things and think it's weird that a pastor lives on their block. I have a heart for skeptical men who think that church is for softies, and if they show up, they're going to have to sit around in a circle holding hands with strangers singing Kumbaya. I have a heart for women, for vulnerable women who've been abused and abandoned and beaten to the point that they feel like they're damaged goods, and they wonder if they'll ever be able to trust a male figure in their life again. I have a heart for their confused young adults who are trying to figure out their identity in a world that's screaming to them to think and feel and act and look a certain way. I have a heart for upper middle class and affluent who disposable income has provided them with more square footage and nicer cars and clothes and technology and more frequent vacations to exotic places, but whose souls still feel so empty and isolated and alone. I have a heart for those being crushed right now by economics or socially. They're being crushed right now and don't know how they will eat tomorrow or where they'll sleep next week and wonder if there's anyone that really cares about the painful issues that they have no solutions for right now. I have a heart for the person recovering from sex addiction, alcohol addiction, narcotic addiction, pornography addiction, and constantly wonder if they might fall back into those destructive patterns and destructive patterns of behavior. I have a heart for the African-American, the Asian, the Latino, the you fill in the blank, who's ever wondered if they will be fully embraced and loved and accepted in this church. I have a heart for the teenage girl who's cutting herself and for the teenage boy who's battling depression. I have a heart for the single adult who is so sick and tired of everyone trying to set them up on a date and saying, why hasn't a great person like you ever gotten married? I have a heart for the senior adult, the widow, the widower, who wonder if they still have anything to offer and sometimes feel so lonely and forgotten and insignificant. And I pray that they might realize that their wisdom and their counsel and their prayers and their words of encouragement and their investment in the lives in our next generation is something that is craved and needed now more than ever. I have a heart for the partnerships that RCC has established to serve students in our junior highs in our community right here in Clay County, for college students in our state universities fighting for the unborn, for foster children and their families, for the homeless in our communities. I have a heart for those we're partnering with right now in Egypt, in Ethiopia, in Zimbabwe, in Dominican Republic. I have a heart for the least, the lost, the lonely, and the desperate. I have a heart for the people who say, I would never go to a church like that. It's too big, it's too loud, and it's just too far away. You fill in the blank, those are the people I have a heart for. So I'm asking you, who do you have a heart for? Who is your one? Who will you wreck the roof for? And some of you, it's a person that lives next door, it's your spouse, it's a person you share a cubicle with, or it's a person you buy coffee from. And Jesus is saying, remove the silly and unnecessary barriers that are preventing them from coming to me. And family, I have to say, I'm so thankful for the many people just in my life who wrecked the roof so that I would come to know Jesus. And I praise God for them. And I also want to say this at the beginning of 2026, thank you, thank you, thank you for the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you throughout the history of RCC that have wrecked the roof to remove the barriers for people to find Jesus. Thank you for providing places for people to park. Many of you park far, far away, so our guests have closer parking spots. Thank you for providing kids ministry where our kids right now are learning about Jesus Christ. Thank you that when there was no room, you were willing to shift your preferred worship time to make more room for others. Thank you for all the roof wreckers in the 11-year history of RCC. Well done, good and faithful servants. Can we give God the praise for these roof wreckers in our church family? Thank you, Jesus. So here's the second question I want to ask you, RCCers. Here it is. Number one was who. Second question, what? What does it look like for us to wreck the roof today, right here, right now, in 2026? Number one is this, pray. First step is prayer. For the first several last months, I've been praying prayers that begin with the phrase, what if? What if we took God's hand with greater faith, trusted him like we've never trusted before in this next year? What if for 1 year, like never before, we wrecked the roof to help people get to Jesus? So I want to challenge you today. The first step is to pray. Pray. And so I want to do something I did last week. I never do this, so take full advantage of it. I want everyone right now listening to my voice, you guys online as well, or listening to this message online, go ahead and get your smartphone out. Right now, get your smartphone out, every one of you. I know 99% of you have smartphones. Don't lie to me and say you don't have it. I'm praying for you guys that have Samsung phones, by the way, right now. I'm just praying for you. So get those phones out. I want you to go to the clock app, your clock app where you set your alarm. Go ahead and go to the app right now. Once again, you guys online, you do the same thing with us. All right, go to the clock app, and here's what you do. I want you to go and set an alarm for 2:37, not a.m., but p.m., okay, 2:37 p.m., set alarm, and then I want you to go to the edit feature of that app, and I want you to put repeat, and I'm asking you, will you pray every single day for a year at 2:37, and some of you are going, that's crazy, why are you asking me to pray for a whole year at 2:37, here's why, because around this building right here, around our campus, in a 20-mile radius, are 237,000 people. That blows my mind. 237,000 people. And I have a vision that we will reach 3% of them. 3% of the 237,000. So I'm asking you every day, when that alarm goes off at 2:37, that you pray a short prayer, 5, 10, 15 seconds, and you just pray, God, will you just bless these 237,000 people that they come to know your son Jesus? Will you bless our church as we reach out to them? Lord, will you help me be on mission today to be an ambassador of light in this dark world on the behalf of Jesus Christ? Just say like a quick prayer or something like that. I'll warn you, the first few times it went off, I might have got a mild heart attack, all right, at 2:37 in the afternoon. But if it goes off and somebody asks you, why is your alarm going off at 2:37? What a great opportunity to tell them what we're doing. We're praying that 3% of our population, 237,000 people, will come to RCC and call their church home. And we're praying for this 237,000 people, that all the churches in the area will reach out to them, and that more of them will come to know your son, Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you, what a great thing to do and be an ambassador, spread the word and getting other people on mission with us. And so first step is we pray. The second step is we go. Go. Jesus says to go on all the world making disciples. And he calls us all to be roof wreckers. And I'm going to ask you to think about, what does it mean the next year for you to go? You're like, well, how would I discover, you know, what Jesus wants me to do? I would encourage you, next time we have Welcome RCC, it's happening right now. Next time we have it in a few weeks, you make sure you go to Welcome RCC to hear about what God is doing, how you can plug into what God's doing here. Maybe you want to go ahead and join the kids ministry, or maybe the cafe team. We need help on Saturday nights on our cafe team, or the connect team, or the parking team. I cannot wait to grow up one day and be on the parking team. That's my goal in life, by the way. For some of you, it might mean that you actually become part of a life group and you become a life group host or a life group leader. Maybe get on a service team. There's a card in front of you, and look on that card and maybe some ideas there. We want everyone here at RCC to do the bare minimum. What's the bare minimum? Here it is. Worship 1 hour, like you're doing right now. Serve 1 hour. And then be in God's word with other believers in life group or a Bible study 1 hour each week. You worship 1 hour. Some of you are worshiping right now because you're serving at 8:30 or you're serving at 11:30. Some of you are some of these people that worship earlier or worship later are serving right now. Worship 1 hour, serve 1 hour, and then be in God's word with other believers 1 hour each week in a life group or a Bible study. What's God calling us to do? Pray, go. Number three, give. I'm asking you right now that you be a roof wrecker in this area. I want to ask you right now, as you start this, will you be willing as you start this year to ask God, God, what do you want me to intentionally give in 2026? Let's get a little crazy. Let's get bold with our giving in 2026. I mean, see if God doesn't just bless the socks off this church in extraordinary ways through our giving. You see, what's happening in this church today, and the amazing things that have happened in the last 11 years, could not and would not have happened if it wasn't for those who wrecked the roof and sacrificially gave. We were able to have all these services and all these ministries. It's because previous RCCers wrecked the roof and sacrificially gave before any of you showed up here. Why did we have almost 300 baptisms in 2025? Because RCCers wrecked the roof and sacrificially gave. How has our kids ministry and our 5-6 ministry and our student ministry grown from 450 kids to over 600 kids in just 1 year? Because RCCers wrecked the roof and sacrificially gave. We have a dream of wrecking the roof to help more people come to Jesus by strategically positioning RCC to be able to start new services whenever God gives us and brings us opportunity. And I've said it and I'll say it again. We're just going to keep casting the vision, and we'll move as fast and as far as God provides the resources through his people. So this year, as you start off in 2026, why don't you start by asking God, what should I plan to intentionally give to you, God, in 2026? I'm praying that God will give us more at RCC, not for ourselves, but for others, so that we'll do more and wreck more roofs and make more difference in the lives of others. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Amen. Now, in closing, I just want to share my heart. What a privilege it is to be a part of this church family. What a privilege. You have no idea how honored I am as a pastor to be here, because God has changed my life through you. God has changed my life through you, and I want to give God the praise for that. I'm starting my ninth year here, and I feel like I'm not just a pastor. I feel like I'm a product of this church, because I get to see God do supernaturally things again and again and again through this church. I mean, just what we saw right now with Jaylee leading her friend Katie to Jesus Christ, and then together, you know, in the baptistry together. I mean, that's just common here. That's supernatural what God is doing in our church family. And I just want you to know, I pledge to you, I'm going to give my time and my energy and my prayers and my resources and my very life to help wreck the roof, to help other people come and find Jesus. And I will commit with you to pay any price, to show up every single day with a serving towel over my arm, to show up on my knees, dependent on God in prayer, however many years God gives me the health and the life and the energy and the privilege to serve this church, because Jesus really does heal hurting people. Jesus really does set people free. Jesus really does break the chains of addiction. Jesus really does give hope to the hopeless. I'm asking you, will you join me in 2026 in wrecking the roof? Will you lock hearts in arms with me on this first month? Can we just do that like we've never done it before? What if over the next couple weeks, we just think about, we just pray about, God, what does it mean for me to wreck the roof? So for this next year, will you join me every single day at 2:37, praying for the 237,000 friends and family and community that we have around us, for 3% of them to come to Jesus Christ and know him as the Lord and Savior here at RCC? Will you just join me in praying also for your wants? What if we just said to God, God, I will go and I will serve wherever you call me to serve. What if we just said, God, I will give whatever you set on my heart to give in 2026. What if, RCC, we wrecked the roof? And I'm going to encourage you with this right now. Get your cards, the cards, once again, get those two cards. And I want you to write down a name. If you haven't done it, write down the same name on both cards. The first card, you're going to keep. You're going to keep that card, and you're going to pray over your friend every day at 2:37. And I encourage you to put it on your mirror, and you can look at it every day when you brush your teeth, or put it in your Bible, or maybe put it on your in your car somewhere, not over your speedometer. We don't want you to get pulled over, okay? But put it somewhere in your car, where every day you're reminded to pray over your one. And the other card with the same name, I want you to bring it up here as an offering today. As we're singing, as we're worshiping, there's four buckets up here. There's four containers all the way to the far left and right here kind of close to the middle. And you see two more on this side. I want every one of you to hand in your one. A couple things. One is, some of us have seen God work supernaturally. I had a person tell me last night on our Saturday service. They said, I got to get a different one. I said, why? He said, because my one got baptized 3 weeks ago here. And I think that's awesome. I hear people who will put down their one, even people in this room right now, put down their one later in that service. Their one came to Christ. They didn't know their one was in church that day. But I'm going to tell you, God works supernaturally in those prayers. The second thing I want you to think and know of this is that I'm going to pray personally over every card handed in, over every one that you hand in. I'm going to personally spend time praying over that one. And then I'm going to take that card, and every single Wednesday at 11 a.m., there's a group of us that you're welcome to join us. We have a prayer time that's open to all, and we're going to pray over those ones together again. So be here in this room at Wednesday at 11 a.m. We would love for you to pray with us over all these ones. So once again, I'm going to pray right now. I want you to write down your one, and then when we worship together, I want you to bring your ones up here and give them as an offering to God, and watch God do what only God can do in their lives. Will you stand with me right now? Please stand. Let me pray over you. God, I thank you this church is alive like never before. And we're truly humbled by what you've done in and through us. I mean, God, we had no idea 11 years ago from that community pool that you sent us to a funeral home, the dance studio, then a school, and now here. We couldn't see what you would do 11 years ago. We can't imagine, God, that we're going to do next. Of the next 11 years. Thank you, God, for giving us our turn and our opportunity right now. So work, move, do tremendous things through the life of our church, this community that we serve, so that your name may be made famous. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. And everyone who agreed together said, amen. Can we give God the praise and what he's going to do in 2026? So please come right now as we worship. If you need prayer, our crosses are open. You want to give your life to Christ, head to the crosses. But come right now and bring your wants. Please come.